everybody. Welcome to Sonic Talk, episode 583, recording today, live on Wednesday, the 10th of July, 2019. I nearly said 1989. I have no idea why that came in. It's because I've got 08 and then 19, I think. I don't know why. Maybe I'm going senile. I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, this is the one of the summer editions of the Sonic Talk podcast. Sonic Talk podcast is to do with all things music technology, that kind of stuff. So everything to do with software, synthesizers, instruments, electronic music instruments, production, live stuff, all kinds of things. I'm just going to get my level because I noticed my mic was a bit quiet last week, so I'm just trying to get it up to the right level. That feels a bit better. So yes, we want to say thank you very much to iZotope providing a prize this week. You'll be able to win a copy of the Neutron 3. It's Neutron 3 Advanced, so it's kind of a swanky prize. I don't know what that's worth, but it's worth a fair old few quid. All you have to do is stay tuned to about halfway through the show, which runs to about an hour, and we'll tell you. Also, we'll have a winner announced for next week as well, so we thoroughly recommend you stick around. I should actually say, I think that's it. Yeah. What is it? It's Wednesday. It's very hot in here again. It's been very hot and sticky. We've got a big flat roof, and the flat roof just sort of heats up to this optimum temperature and then just radiates. So it's like much cooler outside, but it gets very hot inside. Let's say hello, though. We have a couple of guests this week. We managed to extract people from their summer activities. We have Mr. Gaz Williams, bass player and producer, who couldn't get his mic working, so he's a bit roomy today. How are you, Gaz? Are you well?
Yes, I'm well, but reasons for that are to do with plunging into iPad OS, which is currently in beta. So that has kind of knocked my iPad Pro out of traditional service I've just discovered.
Okay. Well, that's, I guess that's something.
But there is, well, I don't know if it's worth keeping this for a little topic, but that is, it's big news. It is
okay,
big news.
All right, let's keep that for a little topic, because then we can, that'll give us, frankly, we need everything, all the help we can get, because there's not very much news around at this time of year, and we have to sort of make it up a bit. So anything that's impromptu is perfectly fine. But Gaz, thank you very much for joining us. In fact, we published the Atom piece, because you did a couple of pieces with Presonus. If you've seen the 4.5 update, and also a piece about the Atom controller, because the Atom controller, it's like a kind of, it's a machiner to the Presonus's software, and it's really tight integration. Yeah. Not only that, it only costs about 80 quid. But if you buy it, you get a copy. It costs about 120 quid, I think, or 100 quid. But if you buy it, you get a copy of Artist, Presonus Studio One Artist, which costs 90 quid anyway. So it's a no-brainer, really.
Very capable software as well. Very, very good software. Highly impressed. Yeah. Good. So, but that's brilliant. That interface, though, that little box, it is really good, because it's not only does it give you like a kind of MPC-type workflow inside of inside the Studio One, it also gives you a little bit of complete control kind of ideas as well in Studio One as well. So it's interesting. I just got a complete control M32 today. That's the little baby one. Just a little 32-key native instrument thing. Anyway, that's another
topic.
I've been
using that as well, but nothing I've been using it with seems to work. Like, I did the Massive X preview, and that hadn't been integrated yet, so I couldn't use it for that. And I'm also I've been looking at the Softube Monument Bass, which is really got a lot of girth and heft to it. But again, that's not NKS compatible. So, and it doesn't seem to accept program changes. It's just a nightmare. I mean, why is it so hard to change patches on bloody software plugins? It's ridiculous. Dominic Hawken, do you know why?
Talking of that, well, yes, it's the damn programmers, isn't it? It's just, they just don't know what they're doing. Well, happy summer, everyone. There's only 5.5 months left till Christmas now, so get your shopping Crikey. In. What can I say about synth patches? Well, I don't know. Everyone's moaning about MIDI now that I see. They forget that it's been around since 1978 or something, about latency and how rubbish it is. And the fact that it's been around for what must be 30 years or something and still is a common standard and was invented by Dave Smith gets my vote. So it's probably something to do with that.
Yeah, you could be right. Well, I mean, it's funny that, isn't it? I mean, moaning about 10 or 12 milliseconds of delay in MIDI, yet you're monitoring through your sound card, which if you're lucky you'll get under 10 milliseconds, but mostly you're going to be up to, say, maybe 40 or 50. Gaz has vanished. I don't know where he's gone, but his video's gone.
Well, not to worry. Not to worry. But as long as we got to find out what his big news is, though. Let's maybe ask him now in case.
That's what's cool. Well, here he comes. He's back now. Sorry, you disappeared. Now you're back.
Yeah, sorry. Just have to scramble a new system because the iPad Pro, which I was normally using to do the show, refused to connect over this vMix thing. But the thing is, now I can happily report that, well, once iPad OS comes out, that the most annoying, ridiculous restriction has officially been lifted.
Files?
Meaning you can files, audio files, the lot. And the fact that that's just been the most ludicrous, I mean, totally, totally mind-bendingly stupid restriction on an iPad for so many years. I mean, you know, situation like you've got a bunch of video cameras and you've got a little Zoom recorder. You're out in the field. You've got an iPad. You've got really excellent editing software and you record your video cameras and you record your little Zoom recorder. You go back to the hotel, you've just got your iPad, you haven't got a computer with you, and you go to put the files in. You can get the video files in, but you go to get your Zoom recorder.
Oh,
no possible way. Yeah, so I mean, sorry, this is like an old story, but this is so frustrating. It's such been a such frustrating thing, and now thankfully you can do it.
It's funny, isn't it? This, I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because essentially the reason that all this copy protection was there was because when iTunes came out, it was part of the safeguarding of the digital rights of not the artists, but the record companies. Now that Apple and all the streaming services have essentially devalued music to the point of non-existence, this is no longer an issue. So
exactly.
What they're trying to protect has no value anymore, so it doesn't matter. I bet you can't import like DVDs or movie files, which probably have it. But yeah, essentially, musical audio files have officially got no value because now Apple iOS supports transfer of it. There we go. How's that?
Carry
on.
Sorry.
I was just going to really you carry on, Dad.
Let me have this. I'll just finish this point. I was running an SSD drive directly plugged into the iPad Pro. You know, no extra
just USB-C.
Power or anything. Yeah, just straight in. And it worked beautifully. And I just thought, well, hallelujah. Now, finally, you can use an iPad Pro. I mean, I think that's partly because it's got the USB-C specifications.
Apart from
on
the fact
iPad
that the
Pro.
Audio performance is way worse than previous generations of iPads. Apart from that, right?
I'm seeing better results. I have
but they're still crap.
Results. Well, the thing is, it's beta, so I've got to still.
The answer you're looking for, I think, Gaz, is yes.
Yes.
But yeah, okay. I mean, if only it all worked, wouldn't that be great? Now, I mean, and I totally get your excitement because I think it is a really big deal that we can. I mean, which is mad that it isn't even a bit is even a big deal. It's ridiculous. Sorry, Dominic, you were going to come in there.
No, I was just going to completely agree. I mean, and the stuff you can do, even I've got an iPad Air 2. FabFilter have just put their filters out on it. This kind of stuff, you can do amazing things. And yet I still end up going back to the computer because of these stupid limitations. The other one being the lack of headphone socket, which actually originally I was one that said, I probably won't need to bother about that. Maybe we'll be all right. We can always plug a dongle in or something. And now it's just ridiculous if you can't get an audio out. And I think it was you guys that was getting so annoyed that they'd actually called it Pro because it was just so far from being Pro. It's a nice usable instrument, but you know, it's a nice tactile thing to control other stuff, which is Pro. But yeah, and the thing with the music rights, I mean, as soon as they removed effectively the copy protection off the files themselves, which was a long time ago when you could download unprotected files, I mean years ago, they should really have just opened up the whole thing anyway. I think behind the lines here, because this is an iPad-only iOS update, isn't it? I think they're trying to converge the three systems, the iPhone and the iPad and the Mac desktop, into a programming environment that you can almost squirt out any of three stand, you know, a one size fits all universal app for all three. Now, obviously, you can't take advantage all the way of some of the particular nuances on both, but in the same way that you can write an app for an iPhone and an iPad, which will work. But I think this is all part of a process that's bringing Xcode, their development system, into line, into one universal development system, and probably the watch and probably the TV and all the rest of it, because it's become very disparate at the moment and quite hard to write. You have to write again from scratch if you're trying to take something that you've just done on an iPad and make it on a Mac, for example.
I was just looking for, because my new phone, which is this Xiaomi Mi 9 thing, which is really, really good. I was banging on about this last week, but I don't think I mentioned it on air. So basically, I bought this on Amazon, which is a brand new phone. It's 128 gigabytes. It's got a 48 megapixel rear camera and a, I don't know, 9 megapixel front camera, Samsung screen, Sony CCD and camera, 128 gigs of RAM, cost me £279 with a dual SIM, right? But it's only got a USB-C port and no headphones. And I thought, you know what? I can live with that, because otherwise I would have just bought a second-hand phone. But it came with just a little USB-C dongle with a headphone output. And it's actually not that big a deal. And I've got another one at home, which I can charge through as well, which, because I leave it by my bed and I listen to audiobooks while I go to sleep. So, you know, it's not the end of the world, but I don't know whether those things, the USB-C to audio, work on Apple devices. They probably don't. It doesn't say. So I just wanted to throw that in there before you jump to the gas.
Yeah. I know. I mean... So people say, oh, someone said I'm a fanboy. I'm a fan of the idea of what the iPad has promised from the beginning. And we did Sonic Touch for 30-odd episodes, where we researched and reviewed everything up until that point. Okay, that's a few years out of date now. But ultimately, there was a conclusion that we sort of came to with iPad. And that was that the inherent limitations kind ultimately will scupper its kind of practical uses. So it's going to be interesting to see now going forward whether that actually changes. I seriously think it can. It will. I'm sure it will. But just, you know, I think that's why this is such a big deal, really, because, you know, the iPad, like, I take them to rehearsals, I take them for recording sessions, they are always with me, and they're super useful devices, albeit scuppered as was with this limitation. So anyway, that's it. It's big news. And I do think as well, from what I've heard, that the iPhone, with the, if you run the beta software, you've got more access on files as well on iPhone as well, but they're not making a big deal about that. But I think people have been getting file access. Yeah.
I mean, as we know, I mean, the one big thing, I mean, there's a really good editing software which has just had an update. This is not really music tech, and we will move on in a second, which is called LumaFusion, which is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. If you saw any of our coverage from NobCon or Synthplex, all shot on and edited and uploaded on iPads, but getting the footage in there is a nightmare if you're using external cameras. And we have to use all sorts of Wi-Fi and stuff now. But be able to just plug an adapter, an SD card, and just bring in that footage at USB 3 speeds or lightning speeds, rather than at the speed of over a Wi-Fi network, which, you know, say you've shot a 10-minute piece on two cameras, that's going to take you 2 hours over Wi-Fi to get that footage in, if it's 4K for high quality. Now it won't be the blink of an eye, but it'll be a workable amount. So all really big stuff. Okay, well, thank you, Gaz, for bringing that up. That is really good. And thank you for taking one for the team by putting it on one of your current machines.
I know.
It's like first lesson of music technology. Don't upgrade unless you
absolutely Well, I got sick of it, though, to be honest. I was protesting, and I stopped using that iPad. I'd stopped using it. I was annoyed with it. It was in the naughty corner, and I was kind of cursing it out every time I walked past it. Also, this iPad Pro, it kind of, me and Sam Battles, Look Mum No Computer, were legging it up this road, and it went flying out of my bag. It went flying out of my bag, and it went along this road.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, oh, well. And it's got all scratches down the sides. But, you know, it's proper relict. earned in battle.
Right.
Proper battle stripes, battle scars, you know, earned. So, yeah.
There was a funny moment with one of my funny moments with Gaz, actually, where I don't know if it was this iPad. I think it was the Noodler or something. You decided to live stream yourself demonstrating the Noodler or this new bit of kit with your iPad. And the audio was cracking. Oh, yeah. And I was watching this video and I thought, oh, hang on a minute, the audio is really cracking. And he doesn't realize. I'll text him. So I texted Gaz, who didn't, I think, have my number in his phone anyway. And it took out the entire live stream. This message popped up. And it just froze on the screen. This thing, and that was it. You were gone for the next 5 minutes trying to get it all back up running.
Ouch. Ouch.
It was extreme, but it was properly helpful because it did allow me just to kind of sort of out.
Well, let's just jump in, because one of the first topics of this was going to be summer projects, anyone, because, you know, as the summer comes, you know, you either kind of ignore the stuff or you get on with some things that perhaps you didn't think you would, because, you know, maybe some of the people you usually work with are away or whatever. So you get a bit more time on your hands. I see, Gaz, you know, we'll take the what you've just talked about as your input to that summer project for now, and then we can come back to some other people as well.
I've got other things.
I'm sure you have. So, as I was saying, you know, we also see lots of sales and software and sound. Typically, you get like lots of sound libraries and stuff coming out in the summer, which is people sort of getting ready for a burst of creativity. I wonder, Dominic, have you got like a summer musical project that you've got in mind that you're thinking, I've got a bit of downtime?
Obviously, I've been trying to finish this app, which is really annoying, but and it's taken up so much time. But I've been starting to listen to some techno recently. So I was into dub reggae for a lot. So I was doing a lot of that kind of dub stuff, which is, I think, where we started talking about me coming on Sonic State. And that was really I went doorless, effectively. I decided to change everything up away from Logic and just go and see what happened, try and change up my routine, because everything was just becoming a little bit normal. And I got a little bit more into modular, which had already been in, bought a few bits and pieces and did that. And now just listening to just regular stuff, really, on Beatport and YouTube. I've always liked kind of probably more techno-oriented stuff. And I've always kind of like just sort of dismissed it, really, as fairly simple to make and fairly easy, you know, and it's just force kicks, drum, and some noises and some builds and stuff. And there's been some that's been coming out recently which is just amazing and really, really clever, and I was wrong to completely dismiss it. So that whole thing in my spare time, when I've got half an hour at the end of the night before I hit the sack, I fire up Ableton, which is my other new change up in the last sort of 4 or 5 months, where I've switched from Logic to do more stuff in Ableton. And I have a crack at finishing some techno tracks, which is really
right.
Really,
okay, cool. Well, my plan is to I want to get a looper. I'm going to try and borrow either yours, Dominic, or Andy's got one. I'm going to try an RC-505 and just see what it's like.
Yay.
And a synth and maybe a Ventress, and just sort of make a few things and consider about doing some livey kind of performance things based on that. Much simpler than my previous setup, because it was such a pain in the ass to prep and set up and rehearse all these different aspects. So I'm wondering about that. So that's going to be what I'm hoping to do. The other music tech, there isn't a music tech thing. I'm thinking of starting a fishing channel.
Hey!
So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, no. Goodbye, Nick. We'll lose you to the fishing world.
I don't think so. I think it would take, it's taken, how many years it's taken for Sonic to get to 150,000 subscribers. So we'll see.
There's a batter joke in there somewhere.
I just can't think get it'll it, connect, but... you know. I think you and fish, and it's just going to go off, and we'll lose you.
We'll see. So what projects have you got lined up there, Gaz? Have you got anything ready to that you're looking for? I know you always have, but is there something specific? Summary.
So, like, fully booked at the moment, which is great. What summary stuff? Festivals. So a lot of rehearsals for festivals, which is very summer based. Just started work on a new album producing, which is really interesting, for this Irish singer-songwriter called Colm Regan. I produced one of his albums in the past, but this time he's doing an album entirely consisting of folk songs and All sung a cappella, so there's going to be only his voice as the only thing, but we're going to see just how much we can use technology with the caveat of it being only with his voice. So it's been quite nice, you know, I've had a little listen to Medulla again by Björk, who employed a similar voice only thing. But I think because of the nature of the songs, which are really old folk songs, there's some like shanties as well. we're going to just see what we can do with arrangements and various things. So that's really exciting. So that's a 2-week album project starting next week. So that's kind of going to be...
That sounds like work.
I'm really curious. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you mean? You mean more like sort of just...
Yeah, just sort of...
project.
Yeah, so that sort of thing. I'm going to paint my shelves tartan. OPZ. God, that looks even smaller than I remember.
Like a slide rule.
Beard length.
Yeah.
That has had a very significant update, which
the sampling thing from Superbooth.
Mm-hmm. Sampling is now in here with the additional bonus of being able to USB it into your phone or your iPad, and you can sample directly from YouTube digitally. Directly in with just that one cable. Now, that is dynamite also, because it works in the other way as well. So when you want to do your mix down, you can do it entirely digitally through, you know, through your phone or your tablet. So pretty significant. Obviously the OP1 didn't have that, did it? You could bounce things down and make a tape and then you could grab that digitally, but you can do this in real time. So something that has to be said, though, that when you're using it as an audio interface, it doesn't really function as an audio interface. It really is more designed to be the sampler. The only way you can get playback to come out of the audio here, coming from, say, your phone, is when you're in the sampling mode, there's actually like a kind of monitor preview. But that means you can't...
Then maybe this is a good point to introduce one of our videos, then, because... this is sort of ties up with the same small creative thing, and I think this is one of the best videos I've ever seen.
Hey, Critter! The organelle's here! Looks like there's some
for a
big
music
news.
Technology product, I mean.
Oh, boy. Okay, let me just... nothing's happening.
Hey, would you mind plugging in the power adapter? Thanks. Yeah!
Update 1, battery power.
Does that mean no more power adapter?
Nope, it's still an option, but now the organelle is fully portable.
Cool.
Update 2. Sounds like an early Zappa album, the music in the background.
The MIDI gods!
Move over just a little. No, you move over. I guess we're just too big.
Hey guys, have you ever tried the 1/8-inch fitting?
Let's try it. Oh, that's much better.
I could watch the whole thing, but I'm not going to, in the immortal words. But yeah, this is the update to the organelle. And I've seen them. I know Charles Chicky Reeves, he's got one, and he was totally blown away by it. It's a very similar concept to the idea of one of the teenage engineering things, in that it's got, essentially, it is a Raspberry Pi inside, more or less, that runs a custom OS with pure data patches and a custom... hardware thing, and it's much more solid. People use it for processing audio, you can use it for synths, you can use it for effects, all sampling, all kinds of stuff. And this is the new update, which adds, I didn't quite get to that. It's got a bigger processor, more RAM, batteries, speaker, and yeah, it'll run pure data patches, which you can write, you know, on an environment that you could work on in your on the Mac or on a PC or on a Linux machine, and then save the patches and load them in. It's quite sort of, you have to be quite committed to that sort of lifestyle, but it feels like it's a really nice thing. It's I think it's about $600, so it's not cheap, but it seems reasonable. I'm going to come to you, Dominic, because you've got some standalone stuff there. Have you seen one of these things? It's got great little...
Not hands-on. Yeah, I've seen them in on screen, and I've heard them on screen, but not in real life. And I've been really... Yeah, I love them. I'm really, really tempted. The thing that put me off actually was the price point. I just felt it was just a little bit too much for me to justify something with a Raspberry Pi in it.
I know what you mean.
I'd love... I love one of those things. I think it's designed brilliantly. I love that kind of wooden keys and everything. And I love the idea of being able to tinker with it and plug it in. And the sounds I've heard coming out are brilliant. But to me, it's just when you can compare it to, say, a lot of the sort of $200-$300 things that are around, it was just a little excessive. And I couldn't justify that cost. But I'm sure, from what I've heard, it is amazing. It is lovely. And I'd love to own one.
It reminds me in looks a little bit of the, there's a Danish synth company, and I can't remember what they were called, but there's a blue, they've got a blue, somebody, maybe the chat room will remember. I can't remember, but yeah, I know that that Charles Chicky Reeves was really enamoured with his. I don't know, Gaz, have you ever played with one? I mean, it looks like right up your street.
Yeah. I've come ever so close to buying the version one. Now this one is super tempting, isn't it? A chap wrote a thing called, I think, is it called ORAC or something? It's like an OS for it, which allows you to do really lots more interesting things. That, I think, came out a little bit before this, but opening up the functionality much, much more. It's been a really interesting little project. I've been watching it develop over the different updates prior to this coming out, and it was really heading in the right direction. So it makes a lot of sense for Crit and Guitari just to kind of now expand it again, because if you check this out when it first came out or in the early days, you might not be aware of a lot of the extra developments that it came. Like initially, whatever patch was only always restricted to the four encoders. So whatever patch you were using, you had to, you know, everything was designed with this very kind of fairly limited. But now you've got multi pages. Everything you can. It's almost like a workstation now in terms of
the idea of programming something like this on an interface. I mean, I'm seeing if I can find an image.
Bear in mind that you can plug a monitor and a keyboard and mouse into it, and it's just treat it like a kind of like a computer. So that's the thinking, really. Whack a screen into it, whack a mouse or
I'm looking for an image, some big images. Oh yes, you're right, actually, because it's got an HDMI port on the back.
Yeah, so that's
that is a pie, basically. You can see the layout, essentially.
Yeah. So it's got, which is great if they put in some great A to D's in there and it sounds wonderful. Certainly sounded great. And it's obviously got a lot of development in there, and there's a lot added, as Gaz has said, so it is very tempting. But it's up at that, just slightly too high price bracket for me.
I think this is the tip of the iceberg, you know, with all these like embeddable computer things that are coming out from the Axolotl, the Bella boards, the Elk stuff that we looked at Superbooth, essentially boxes with buttons, keys and sliders or pads, there's going to be a load of them coming.
Well, particularly now, because the new Raspberry Pi 4 came out, which I have here, which is right here, which unfortunately...
Amazing.
This is basically, you get them with up to 4 gigs of RAM. It's got way more processing power. It's got USB 3, which is awesome, and gigabit Ethernet, proper gigabit Ethernet. Same sort of price. Problem is the bloody board has changed, so you can't put it in original in the existing cases. You've got these two. I don't know what they are. What are they? Oh, because it'll run two monitors. So you've got two HDMI ports here. So that changes that. So unless I get the drill out and start modifying my cases, I'm sort of a bit stuffed of putting it in the stuff I've already got. But hey.
So, yeah. What's the state of play with Pi kind of all in, you know? I guess you could be running Bitwig on it, couldn't you? That'd be interesting.
Yeah, Bitwig, I'm pretty sure you could. I mean, two monitors. It runs 4K. It'll run this thing will run a 4K monitor. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. You know, you could actually stick it to the bottom corner of an actual 4K monitor and it wouldn't obscure hardly any of the image, and yet it would be running the image. That's really meta. But yeah, I like the sound of that. Kind of fun. Okay, well, anyway, I wanted to put that in there. That wasn't actually the first story in sequence. We got a couple of things, actually. We've got Ableton Loop... has been announced. It's back in Berlin. Weirdly, and I don't know how people, there seems to be a bit of, people are getting a bit uppity about this or wondering what the logic is. They're running it on the same weekend that Superbooth is running next year, which is April the 24th to the 26th. Superbooth the 23rd to the 25th. So it's running at the same time of year. I mean, I wonder if that just means there'll be more people about and it's actually really a good idea or it's a really stupid idea. We're not entirely sure. I wouldn't have thought that Ableton would have done it without maybe a chat with the Schneider's people and you know, to see whether it worked. Because obviously it means they could bring, they could both have more people coming to perform and share maybe some of that, you know, because if one flies one over, then they could be performing, so it cuts the cost a little bit for performers. That might be it, because that was one, my one criticism from Superbooth last year was there weren't quite enough, there wasn't quite enough variety in the performances, I would say. You know, there was quite a lot of men of a certain age looking at modular equipment and not really making perhaps, you know, good music, as I would call it. I mean, I'm not saying it was bad, but it didn't, it wasn't a very broad musical palette, shall we say. So maybe that's it. I don't know. What do you think, Gaz? I mean, you were there this year, so.
Well, I mean, Superbooth being Superbooth, I guess you're always going to be looking at a similar kind of music, I guess, to what the people are interested in. But I don't know. I saw some pretty different things at Superbooth. But I think this is crazy to link to put it at the same time as Loop, I think, personally, just because the best thing about Superbooth is the sense of community. And, like, if anything that sort of breaks that up just seems a bit of a shame, really, to...
Yeah, or so it might enhance it. I should point out we've actually got this is a, someone called Silent Green. I don't know if these images will grow. It looks pretty. I mean, looks like a great venue. It's the sort
is
of,
that where Loop seems, is taking place?
Yes, yeah, it's sort of. It just looks. Oh, there was another image which doesn't seem to be there anymore. There's a really big hall inside, but it's not there anymore. But yeah, that's apparently where it's taking place. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I can't imagine the momentum that Superbooth has built up is going to affect, because I think Loop is. I don't know how well attended or how, you know, in relative terms, whether Loop has more attendees than Superbooth. I would imagine not. I would think Superbooth has way more attendees. So there must be
seven and a half thousand attendees this year.
Yeah, I think Loop is a bit smaller than that because it's a higher ticket price, I think, so maybe it's a bit different. I know, Dominic, you're thinking maybe now you need to block out some time in your diary in April to get over to Berlin?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this...
Do it!
Yeah. This next one is... Yeah, I missed it this year, actually, because I was chatting to so many people, like, you know, your guys are Div Kid and all that. I wish I was there. I really wish I was there. It looks really, really cool. And so, yeah, from now on, I'm going to pretend to be a more proper YouTuber or more proper presence and just get out there and have a look at this stuff. Just have to watch the wallet when I'm over there. I have one question, actually, whilst we're talking about Superbooth, which is just completely unrelated. But, Gaz, the motor synth, you saw that in, you know, with the motor synth. How noisy is it? As in, when it's not plugged in, making a musical noise. How noisy are those mechanical those things?
Not massively. They're kind of like, they're from drone... taken from drones, so they're quite whizzy. You saw, do you know what? It was so noisy in Superbooth.
Maybe that's why they turned it up so loud.
Because I know how noisy drones are. I mean, drones are forget it. I mean, you're not going to take the sound off a drone.
That's a good point Nick is making, actually, though. That was the loudest stand in all of Superbooth. They had it. It was banging loud, which felt right with you see these motors spinning and this absolutely enormous sound. But yeah, so sorry. I think noise probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be negative. Really, so I'm gobsmacked at how well it's done and, you know, how I'm brilliant. Good luck to them. But I just suddenly thought, hang on a minute. There's four or five of these motors in that. That's a big old drone to be vibrating on the table as I'm trying to cut through the cutoff filter, you know.
I wonder if they run at the same sort of speeds that drone propellers run at, or whether they're dialed back.
Well, I would say they'd be about 440 times a second, wouldn't they, for 400.
That's a very good point. Because there's a strobe on it, so it's actually so it would probably be half the or an eighth of the speed, or maybe I am
very,
really
very good
totally
point.
Guessing here, but
the vibration bit is mitigated, though, because as they spin so fast, they actually create a tiny little hover pad. So actually, it hovers about an inch or
like
so off the desk.
Sorry to just completely sideswipe the conversation, but I keep meaning to ask you, and I thought the viewers might be interested as well. But sorry, so yeah.
I just realised that.
Oops.
We've lost you, Nick.
I think we've lost Nick at the moment, so someone's sticking. Oh, yeah, you're back. Sorry, we lost you then, Nick.
I'm here. I do beg your pardon. Yeah, we got a competition for Isotope. If you want to win Neutron 3 Advanced, we're looking for the hashtag Modern Mixing, the hashtag Neutron 3 to at Sonic State and at Isotope Inc. At which point now I will play the Isotope.
Presenting Neutron 3, the modern way to mix. Bring your workflow into the 21st century with 8 modern mixing tools, all at your fingertips in one mothership plugin. Starting a mix can take a while, but with the all-new Mix Assistant, Neutron can listen to your audio and quickly suggest a custom starting point for an individual track or set levels for your entire mix. Shape sounds like never before with the new Sculptor module. Match audio to a target sonic profile and instantly sculpt it to sound more like itself or like something else completely. Reach out and touch your audio with Neutron's immersive controls and visualizations. Neutron 3 comes equipped with Visual Mixer, a tool to help you effortlessly manipulate the landscape of your mix. Neutron 3, the modern way to mix.
Yeah, do check it out. You can always download the demo at isotope.com. Head over there. You need to set up an account, but that's cool. We got a winner for the last week's competition. There's a guy called Jonathan Camarillo at Johnny DeBaker, and he's posted a rather lovely gif of an old Akai reel-to-reel with the VUs bumping and the hashtags that were required to be chosen. So if you want to get in touch, Jonathan Camarillo, Johnny DeBaker from Austin, Texas, or Ossetin, Texas, as he says in his bio. Please do. So, yes, we should probably. Gosh, I didn't realise the time had gone. That's amazing how much time we've gone through. That's a lot of waffling on my part, no doubt.
We were late starting.
Let me see. Gosh, I don't know where to go. I'm going to put this out to you guys. Which where would you like to go topic wise? Have you got any? Who's done the most prep? The War Pigs video. Let's do the War Pigs video. Right, let's see where that is. That's this one. Yes, this is Tara Bush. Latest release. She's doing a sort of single every month and it goes out on vinyl. This is a video that she's done with Maps. Really striking visually. And it's a live performance of a version of War Pigs, the classic Sabbath. I think it was off their first album, which I actually have. It's got a SEM 2 voice running a sequence. And an ARP Odyssey Mark 1. And also MS-20. Which is going to be a voice through. You got to watch the whole thing, and then she does a bit. There's a sort of guitar solo which is representing the. Tommy Iommi? Tommy, is that what his name is? I can't remember.
Tony
Iommi. Where she sings into the MS-20. It's just really nice, simple, three synths, dead simple. But yeah, and also check out her Patreon. She's doing stuff, and I just thought it was nice to put in there because I know she's been on the show a few times, and we like to support our friends where we can. And I think her Patreon's going well. You're an old mate of hers, aren't you? So that was very, very. She's done. It's quite an interesting treatment, I thought.
Tara is fantastic. The way she's embraced not just synthesizers but all kinds of aspects of technology is amazing. Because whatever she does is always imbued with an innate musicality. If she was classically trained or not, but she has got, she can really sing, like an operatic style as well. So she's got an incredible range of talents as Tara. So and it's brilliant seeing this. This is a great indicator of that. But I have to say, it's a bit funny because I play in the Charlotte Church Pop Dungeon, which is, Charlotte Church was a famous child singer who'd sing all classical styles and was associated, well, the voice of an angel with a very goodly kind of stuff. And we've been going out doing this filthy, filthy, filthy kind of hybrid sort of music, including a version, and it's still in the set, of War Pigs. Ah. So it's quite funny that that TARDIS chosen this one as well. It's a very different version, but it's just a coincidence. But when we play it, it always goes down a storm. It's still an incredibly powerful song. Amazing. It's cool. It's good. And TARDIS is always worth checking out. 100%.
Yes, I would totally agree. And that they do they release these singles once you, if you're a patron of a certain level. I don't think it's very much. You get an actual vinyl copy of the single as well. That each one comes out in their t-shirts as well. So, excuse me. It's kind of fun. It's very different to the kind of stuff that perhaps you or I do. I don't know what visceral kind of aspect. And I like it.
It's just great. I always end up just adding way too much stuff to everything I ever do, rather than stripping it back down to its basics and just kind of just, you know, let's make some tunes. I'll put some kick drum in, put some hi-hat in, do this, do that, or let's add a couple of percussion loops, or let's add this, let's add that, or I could do with another synth line. And then 40 tracks later, you've got this thing that's actually lots of quite good sounds and very few brilliant sounds. There was a great Mark Hollis quote, R.I.P. Mark Hollis from Talk Talk, who said, I forget the exact quote, but it was along the lines of, if you're gonna play a note, make absolutely sure that note is needed. And if you're gonna use a certain sound for it, make sure you use exactly the right sound, or just throw it all away. It was along those lines. It was much better put than that. And so the idea of having, I think it's three synths going on there, and maybe one of the synths was processing the vocals. And it said it was a live video. I don't know if it was live recorded it was all one go. I mean, it's an immense sound coming from, you know, obviously some great synths, but that kind of stuff just makes you realize that bass line that you've just spent a little while programming could probably fill the whole track if you did it right, let alone anything else. Takes me back to this thing I said yesterday. I talked about last week. This
Sherman Bank.
That'll get you there.
This sounds reminds me of, you know, the kind of gnarly, nasty, fat, thick, gorgeous sounds that seem to be coming out of the synths on her vid. I also really like the mic treatment. So there's two mics going on there. One, I think, was going through MS-20 or something. Yeah. And the other one just going somewhere through some distortion, but kind of very close mic. Just sounded great. The whole thing for me was just how large it sounded for how little instrumentation there was in there. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Just brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant.
That's the sort of thing that synths can do. That's very true. But yeah. So yeah, check that out. I think I Speak Machine is what she goes under. So if you search that out, it will probably get you to the Patreon links and, you know, whatnot. And you can get all of those things. I think, did I actually do this? I'm trying to remember now. FL Studio 20. I don't know of any 20. DAWs that are at those sort of figures. 20.5 is out, and it's not the oldest DAW. I think it started about 97. And it comes with a synth called... what is it actually called? Have I actually got a video of it somewhere? What does that one do? No, that's not it. Synth called... Oh, God. I am completely... I've completely lost it. Flex, I think it's called. I'm pretty sure... Flex, yeah, where's it gone? Flex free synth that comes with it as well, and that people are raving about it. And this, I'll just play a bit of the video of this quickly. It's kind of a preset synth with movable macros, and it does sound pretty good. And if you want to get hold of it, but a lot of people swear by FL Studio. In fact, I was looking on the power users site, this was gave me a bit of a I was sort of scrolling through all the power users because I think, well, you know, because it's not a commonly, I mean, it's quite very commonly used, but it's not something that you necessarily see people using main productions. But then I spotted one of the power users is Mr. Mark Tinley right there. He's one of them as well. I've never used it really. I know it's Mac, it is Mac and PC, isn't it? Has anybody else had any image line action? Because they're very highly thought of.
No, I haven't. Although I agree with you, I'm watching a load of YouTube vids, which is, I just have YouTube constantly on in the background when I'm not working on music, when I'm coding and stuff. And there's a whole bunch of people, especially people who are primarily just kind of making beats and working with rappers or artists. So they're just constantly making background stuff and then sending it through to artists looking for beats. They all seem to be using it. And it sounds great as well. It sounds really, really good.
Yeah, a lot of people use it for creating beats, don't they? And then bring that into their DAW from Choice. You're absolutely right there. It does sound like that could be there.
It was that thing, wasn't it? When Rebirth first came out, and just how amazing that whole thing was, the next step really was FL Studio, or Fruity Loops as it was back then more. It was before the session view of Ableton Live came along. So it's, you know, as a sort of non-linear way of working and building patterns and then being able to trigger patterns and manipulate patterns. I think historically it kind of sits in that point in time, you know. And I think it's really interesting how, even though it's developed so much, it's still at its core is still that way of working, you know, at its core, at its kind of, you know, even though it's much more like a DAW these days. But, you know, it was occurring to me as well that, gosh, yeah, how long, what year did it come out?
It's 97. I was thinking it had been around on sort of Windows 3.1 or something, but no, 97, I think.
What year was Rebirth then?
Now you're asking. I'm going to have to just look that up. Rebirth.
I thought that was a little bit... But I mean, it was really brilliant to see Akai releasing The Fire earlier. Was it earlier this year? Which was the...
1996.
So it was that sort of development. Akai releasing the standalone controller for it, but only this year. It's taken a long time. That was the first time I'd seen any hardware that was specifically focused on
I guess it makes sense Studio. Because they are Akai Fire. Let's have a look. I can load that up. Let's have a look at that. Yeah, that's right. And you're right. I'd forgotten about that, but I guess it's a beat making. I mean, it looks like a beat making thing, but look at that sort of step sequencing. So that's the...
But that's the key. That's what I'm talking about. That is the essence of FL Studio. The step, you know, multiple row step sequencer kind of thing.
That looks like a great controller. Lots of buttons on there.
Does really yeah, good. But does. It's a bit like the Atom that we were talking about earlier. It's really nice to just whip something out of the box and plug it in and not have to map anything, and everything is ready to go. So I think, you know, FL Studio users over all these years have been out in, it's always had great MIDI programmability, but everyone would have had to have just spent all that time mapping away. So it's about time they add something, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, there seems to be a lot of it to go around. I mean, it's because it depends on your platform of choice, I think, really, because if you probably started out early on Windows, then you might well be an FL Studio person, because that was one of the few that was around, because we didn't really have much dual platform stuff at the beginning, did we? Now there are, you know, we've got dual platform stuff for people like Cubase, and I guess Logic did, but I remember Logic going to the PC and then coming back. And then they cut it off at 5 point something or other, but I don't remember it being on the PC for that, Logic for PC being on that for that long. I wonder what that was, actually. Logic,
they bought Creator, didn't they? That's it.
Yeah.
They had Cubase and C-Lab, and C-Lab then Creator.
I'm just looking at Logic Play.
I thought they just bought it and moved it straight to the Mac, actually. I could be wrong. And it was just that C-Lab or Creator was sort of left behind on the PC briefly. This is back in the Atari days, though, to be fair. You know, and it was just most of the Cubases and stuff were working on the Atari.
Run Logic on Windows. Just trying to see. I can't find the versions there. Yeah, because the search just turns up with loads of ways of running it in parallels or in dual.
PCs were really basic back then, though. Really, really basic. And then all the creative designers or musicians or whatever were on the Mac fanboys back then. So everyone with
there wasn't much choice, was there? It wasn't.
Had to buy a Mac instead and shift onto that, really. So, but I do remember a lot of people moaning when it was removed from the PC. So it definitely ran for a while. I just can't quite remember the history, like you.
I think another thing with FL Studio or Fruity Loops was it shareware? It certainly was something that you could download for free way back before you could
I don't know, because I wasn't really a PC user back then.
I think it was shareware. So, it's quite interesting. It's really come from that world, and the fact it's lived to this day, and it's probably bigger than it's ever been. It's just a really cool story. I'm sort of a toast to ImageLine, I think. Well done.
Yes. There, that seems like a good, well, what a good way to talk. I'm getting so hot in here that it's kind of the air conditioning is just doing absolutely nothing. I don't know what it is.
People saying that Logic 5 was running on Windows in the chat room. Cubic Hub was saying
Logic 5 was the last version. Yeah,
I think five was the last.
What I'm saying is it didn't run from version one. It ran from something.
Oh, I gotcha.
Where did it start on Windows? Because it was originally a Mac only, and then it got ported.
Yeah.
And I imagine what happened was is they ported it to Windows, ran out of cash, then sold to Apple.
Yes.
I suspect that's what happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was no commonality in it would have been two completely different code forks and code platforms. It would have been absolutely no commonality. Whereas now you can actually, with stuff like Juice or whatever, you can compile for different platforms much more straightforward. Totally. I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, we still know. I mean, any sort of software release is if a software release ever comes out on time, or to a point where it's like, yes, it'll be ready by October. You just know it's not. It just doesn't. It's so bloody hard to make software, especially complex software, that just works in every case and is bulletproof.
Yeah.
And we've seen that before. It's the same, with Massive X. We saw that come out last week. I mean, I'm not saying it's not bulletproof, but there were things missing in the GUI and the feedback that they just didn't put in because I guess they just didn't have time to add that for that release. And it had already been put back. We did talk about that quite great length last week, but that's just an illustrative point, I think, was all I was trying to make. Right, okay, well, I think we should probably we could probably call it a day. I think we're pretty much there. So, Gaz, thanks ever so much for joining us and digging out the old iPad to get online.
Well, funny enough, I mean, this is my old iPad Air now, which has been when iPad OS comes out, sadly, this is not included. Mm-hmm. So this is for the chop, so to speak. However, I took it to a session yesterday, recorded a big multi-channel session into this iPad Air, 3 20-minute performances concurrent across multiple channels, maybe 12, 13 channels. And it just was effortless. It was amazing. So it's kind of funny, isn't it? This, as you get these technological and consumer shifts, all this stuff that happens, but
the old stuff still works
to levels that are kind of way beyond what anyone can use still, So, I just wanted to mention that because it was like, if a lot of people have starting to sort of think, well, I've got an old, it's not worth selling something, is it, like an old iPad and get 50 quid for it. It's a much more useful, like, sort of auxiliary tool. I use all the different ones I've got for,
well, me too. I mean, we've got an iPad 1 original iPad which runs the Switch, because it's just a MIDI controller. Mm-hmm. We just run it with MIDI Designer Pro, which I can't remember which version. It won't go to the latest version because it's only, I don't know what iOS it's working on, but I don't connect it to the internet anymore. There's no point because it just nagged me.
But if it just, like, you just put it to purpose, just running a single app like you do there pretty much, like an iPad 2 will run Sampler, that's Sampler without an E, which is the all-time greatest iPad app. It'll run Sampler perfectly. My iPad Pro doesn't. But I'm mentioning that. Yeah. It stopped working. The sampling function doesn't work because sampler hasn't been updated, but it's updated beautifully for an iPad 2. So if you get an iPad 2, there's a place in Bristol that's selling iPad 2s that they got a job lot from NHS for 50 quid for iPad 2. And like, whack sampler into that, and it's, you know, it's an amazing, amazing, amazing instrument. I know we've had this conversation before, but it's just, it's relevant to me because I've been doing a bunch of stuff with old iPads in the last few days. Just like, it's the plus side of the...
Yeah, well, as long as the iTunes store continues to offer obsolete versions of software that goes with older versions of OS, yeah, that's fine. But if they get kicked off the store, they're just, you're knackered, aren't you?
I'm going to jailbreak all the old devices now and just and move them into that world, I think. I think it's time.
Yeah, it makes
time.
Sense. Anyway, Gaz, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure as ever. And also Mr. Dominic Hawken, who I can
see there,
is fully branded up with your Snoggle sounds. Does that mean you're live now? Are you live?
Not quite. I'm just doing the vid that goes with it. But there's a few mentions in the chat about it. So if you want pre-release copies or you want to try it out, I could really do with your feedback. So just tweet me. Which side am I? This side. Just tweet me at Dom Hawken and say, give us a go and let's have a try. So it's iOS only, iPad or iPhone. And I'm just giving out some beta test things. I'd love you to try it out, actually, Gaz. I'll send you quite happily.
Just get a little
beta update because we're at that stage where it's release ready. Unless anyone finds
test
anything.
Flight.
So far, so good. Yeah, it comes through test flight. But tweet me and I'll follow you and it'll all work. And yeah, sampler, what you were just mentioning, sampler's brilliant on the iPad. But even as a controller, like a MIDI controller, I don't know if Lima runs all the way back to the very basics, but just running it as a MIDI controller for that kind of stuff. Perfect use of an old iPad that's just not doing anything. Even if you've got two sliders going, you know, it's just brilliant to control any of the old keyboards or software stuff. Fabulous.
Totally agree. Well, I want to say thank you very much again to everybody. Let's say also, if you want to win a copy of Isotope Neutron 3 Advanced, remember we're looking for the hashtag Modern Mixing and the hashtag Neutron 3 to at Sonic State and at Isotope Inc. That's the hashtag Modern Mixing, one word, and the hashtag Neutron 3, the number 3. To at Sonic State and at Isotope Inc. via Twitter. We will also want to say thank you very much to all the folks in the chat rooms, in YouTube and also on... Oh, I didn't get the IRC in there because I haven't actually... That's the interface, the streaming interface. Never mind. Thank you to everybody in the IRC as well. Always a pleasure. But that's it. We want to say thank you very much for watching. That was Sonic Talk number 582. See you next time. Bye-bye now.